Blog Talk Radio.
We belong together, and you know that I'm right. Why do you play with my heart? Why do you play with my mind? Said we'd be forever. Said it never died. How could you love me and leave me in
there? Hey, yo. You ready?
Hey, Em, you know you're my favorite white boy, right? I owe you for this one.
I've been patiently waiting for a track that you wrote on. You get you done if you want, and your ass to get rolled on. It feels like my flow's been hot for so long. You thinking I'ma fucking fall off, you're so wrong.
I've been racing in my head, like a baby bone dead. Destination heaven. Sitting politics with passages from 9/11. The Lord's blessings leave me lyrically inclined. Shit, I ain't even got to try to shine. Guards and seamstress that tailor fitted my pain. I got scriptures in my brain, I can spit at your dame. Straight out the good book. Look, niggas is shook. 50 fear, no man, warrior. Swing swords like Conan. Picture me, pen and hand, write lines, knowing the source of quoted. When I die, they'll read this and say a genius wrote it. I grew up without my pop, should that make me bitter? I cold cases, I cop doctors, that make me a quitter? In this white man's world, I'm similar to a squirrel. Looking for a slut with a nice butt to get a nut. If I get shot today, my phone will stop ringing again. These industry niggas ain't friends, they not.
What's going on, Big Rick?
Ain't nothing, friends. Yo, it's, you know, Wednesday. Yo, friends, would you believe it or not? It was 75 degrees here.
Yes.
So, you know, it's been definitely
short.
You know, well, you know, after a long day of work, I kind of went out for a jog. So it was kind of like, wow, okay. I hope Mother Nature's not playing no jokes on us, though, but yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful here, too. It was beautiful all week, though. I mean, and this is the weather, I like. It was like 77 degrees.
Yeah.
And nice. You know? I don't like it so. I mean, I can take heat. I like hot if I'm going swimming.
Yeah.
But, you know, but other than that, I'll take a day like today all day long.
Oh, definitely. I mean, for a day like today, I could take this all year. You know, you got to. Yeah, you can. It's a nice little, you know, in between. Like, it's not too hot, it's not too cold. It's right there, just right. You know?
Right.
I mean, I was loving today.
And then I like tonight. It gets a little cool, so you can still wear, like, your fly sweatshirt. And, you know?
Yeah.
You can change it from your gear more, you know? Cause to me, coats is like, I don't even care what I have under when I have to wear a coat. Who cares?
Yeah.
I can wear cross colors in the winter, you know?
Exactly. I exactly know what you're saying. When once you got a coat on, you're just like, man, who cares what?
Right.
Who cares what? I don't think nobody cares what I got on under there. It's like, exactly. What's the point?
And I'm cold. I'm always cold. So, me, I'd rather suit up than be cold.
Nah, definitely, Frizz. You know, it's the new year in the NFL. I mean, so today at 4 o'clock, which is kind of odd. I don't know why they do it. It's like, at 4 o'clock starts the NFL's new year. It's kind of weird. I don't get why they – I don't know why it wouldn't start like midnight or around regular time. At least do it at 12 o'clock or something. Why 4? But
right.
Free agency's been going on since, what, like maybe 7 – I mean on Monday around 12 – so you've been hearing about deals, and now you finally get to see the money figures.
Yeah. And my phone was ringing all day today.
Mm-hmm.
Just who's interested in who's signing who, you know, Frank Gore. You know, it's so much going on. And it's crazy.
Hold on, Fred. Before we, you know, you want to dive into, you know, before you want to dive into that.
No, we don't have to dive. I'm like, when I get to the pool, I got to test my, you know, just dip my feet in the water.
Nah, but we have, you know, two retirements. I mean, one of them was like, you know, I think we both expected, we talked about them, you know, a couple times on the show, but obviously now you have Peyton Manning is finally walking away from the game, and also you have Calvin Johnson walking away from the game. And just like, first, like, how do you, like, you sum up, like, both of their careers? You talking about, like, two players that, you know, were one of the best to do it.
Yeah, let me ask you a question, though. Do you think if this controversy in Tennessee didn't spark, do you think he would have just retired, or you think he would?
I think that he, honestly, if you ask me, I don't think that he wanted to retire. What happened with him, though, Frizz, I think that there was no market for him.
There isn't.
I think that what happened was is that he just wasn't good anymore, Frizz. There was reports out there that said, you know, St. Louis may have been interested, but they weren't guaranteeing him a starting spot. And he just was just like, nah, I'm not about to go there and just to go. And, you know, he may not even, you know, start. He wanted to go there, and man, that was it. And they weren't even that interested in him. So that shows you. I mean, people don't forget, but – You know, some people, the greatest wide receiver to play the game was cut by the Denver Broncos in training camp.
Right.
Nobody remember Mar. I mean, nobody remember Rice went to the Broncos and was cut, and then he finally said, "Let me hang it up." And it's like, you don't want to see the greats go out like that. You know, when it's time to go, it's time to go. But clearly, we've seen this year that Peyton, it just wasn't the same. His mind had been made, been still there. Your mind had made it, but the body was just not.
And that's the way it is. I mean, you know, like I told you before, we talked about it before. I go down to the court, you know, I'm warming up.
Yeah.
I'm dribbling the ball, dude. And my mind is saying, okay, cross this dude over. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Bring it to the hole, lay it up, and smack the backboard. Now, my mind is telling me that. But my body is just not agreeing with it.
Exactly.
And I agree. That's where I think Peyton's at. And, you know, and understanding, you know, we're talking about Peyton Manning, Archie Manning, Eli Manning. So, you know,
yep,
he's been around football all his life. So the love for the game is there.
Yeah.
Because that's almost all he knows.
Yeah.
So trying to say I'm going to walk away from this, and let's just be real. This is like, This is a job for them, but this is like a lifestyle and, like you say, a privilege. So it's not, it's like what you do every day. It's like what a lot of people go through when they retire. You know,
mm-hmm.
They run out of stuff to do. You know, it's like they say, I can't wait to retire, and then go fishing for a lot of months, and then they get bored. And then the next
mm-hmm.
thing you know, they're shaking hands at Walmart.
Nah, but definitely, I understand. I mean, that's the thing that Peyton was, like you said, Chris, that's all he's known. He's been brought up, you know, this football, you know, prodigy, you know, so to say, and he's lived up to it. You know, number one draft pick.
Right.
And, you know, you give him credit. You know, he won two. You know, he won two. You can say whatever you want about the last one, but he still has that one.
Yeah. And when people keep talking about that, I just feel like, come on, it's over. The Super Bowl's over. He won it.
I mean,
he was the quarterback that won it.
No, definitely. I mean, he did enough. He did enough for them to win. And granted, like, I'm not going to say that I'm sad to see him go because, hey, I mean, during these last couple of times, he wasn't the same player. Yeah, he wasn't the same player. So, I mean, you won't see.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, okay. He just wasn't the same. He wasn't Peyton just wasn't the same, but me see him go, you know, you've seen all the matchups between him and Brady, and those used to be must-see TV all the time because you know that those games, they were both coming to play. And I mean, he was the one opponent that put fear in you because you're like, damn, we got to play Manning, and he's going to go. And the ultimate most respect that I've seen it on, you know, somebody went on Twitter was Bill Belichick went for it on a 4th-and-2 at his own 28, and he had to leave in the fourth quarter. That shows you how much respect Bill Belichick had for Peyton Manning.
Oh, yeah. Manning, he's an icon. He's definitely going down in history as one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. And that's it. Nobody can ever say anything. And if they do want to say anything, if you go back in time, any one of them would have took him on their team.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for people to say, oh, no, he wasn't that good or this, this, and this, you would have took him on your team any day of the week.
Yeah.
I mean, they made different rules for Peyton Manning. So, I mean, he's going down. He'll be finishing his career. Well, his career is finished. He was able to get two titles, two Super Bowl rings, and I mean, what else can you say? He broke a lot of records, and kind of like had the quarterback game looked at totally different, you know? I mean, I think we're in a passing league now because of Peyton Manning.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So, I mean, I'll take all of it. I've enjoyed his whole career, and looking at him, I couldn't stand him, but I respect him at the same time, you know. And like you said, anytime you have a player where the coach is going into the next week, and he's what they're looking at to stop, he's great.
I mean, we won't see, you know, and it sucks because, like, you look at it and you're like, damn, no more Brady versus Manning, or, you know, that and alone is you just won't see Peyton Manning again. And you're talking about, like, you know, just like you said, Fridge, you know, much as say, okay, you don't like him, but, you know, you definitely got to respect him. And, but Fridge, you're talking about an all-time great.
Right.
You know, like, you're talking about an all-time great. And as we had conversations before, as far as in the talent level, as far as in the quarterback position, is scarce. So now we're talking about an all-time great leaving the game, and now we have to look forward is the guys like, you know, Kirk Cousins, or even his, you know, we're going to get more into that later, but Brock Osweiler type.
Right. So, and then you look at it, you're looking at these quarterbacks now, and the topic of discussion is, like you said, Brock Osweiler and what kind of contract he's going to get. And then you compare him to some of the greats. It's like he's not even close.
No.
So the bar, I mean, it's about 5 or 6 quarterbacks out of 32 teams that's really elite, and the rest are just benefiting from their greatness. So they should really start going and giving, buying them. You know, people buy offensive linemen gifts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They should go back and give, like, Peyton Manning a gift, Tom Brady a gift, Aaron Rodgers a gift, you know, Phillip Rivers a gift.
Do you think that I seen something like a while ago. Do you think that the way that we evaluate quarterbacks now, is it fair? Like, I don't know what kind of everyone is comparing because they see the Bradys, the Manning, Rodgers, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, Tony Romo when he's not breaking his shoulder.
Exactly.
do you think it's fair that they compare these quarterbacks to them because they look at it and say, oh, it's trash because they're just not on that level? these quarterbacks are just like, it's unfair that this era of quarterbacks that we have, we've been blessed with great quarterbacks, and these guys are being compared to them, and I just don't think that they can match up to any of these quarterbacks. Or just the talent is just not
I mean, you hit it right on the head. That's what's going on. You know, those are the great quarterbacks. And, I mean, those are the quarterbacks now. And that's who you got to compare it to. That means it's like apples for apples. That's why we get the Jordan story so much. Because, you know, everybody's looking for that next elite. You know, and when you have Kobe Bryant going out, that's when you're talking about now you hear the Kobe Bryant. And it's funny because, you know, people don't really get so great until they pass. Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. Michael Jackson was on top his whole life when he passed. He made more money than the guy. Elvis Presley's been dead for like 96 years, and he's still making millions of dollars every year. So your greatness it never dies. But we have a core of players that's just, I don't even know. It's scary because we're really riding on, like you said, 5-6 good quarterbacks, mm-hmm. and that's about it. I mean, throughout the whole NFL league, and the whole big race, right? And like you look to see, Denver's like, we got to hurry up and make a move, because if we don't, we're going to lose Brock Osweiler. You know, it's not like if we don't make a move, we're going to lose like Phillip Rivers, you know, Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. We're going to lose Brock Osweiler, because they looked around the league and they looked in free agency and they looked in the draft and was like, he's our best option.
No, exactly, Chris. And that's just like, you just look at the talent of players and you're just like, wow, it's very scarce. It's definitely scarce in that market. But then also, too, we had another retirement for his Calvin Johnson.
I don't know.
Walked away.
I don't know how to take that so much. I mean, because he played with Detroit, I mean, is he first, second, or third ballot Hall of Famer? Because
I think that he is. Go ahead.
At the end of the day, like I said, you have to wait 5 years. So in five years, are we still going to be talking about Megatron?
I think that we got to look at Megatron's body of work, and I don't think that it's fair. I mean, I don't think that we should just look at where he was, where he played at. But also, Tudor Frizz, if you look at him during his era, because a lot of these stats by a lot of these players were due to longevity. You have the Rices of the world, or, you know, this player, that player who's played, you know, 15 years and stuff like that. But I look at someone like him, and I say, during the time that he was in the NFL, he played at a Hall of Fame level, and he was one of the best wide receivers in the game, always in that conversation, and I put him in there. Maybe you may, maybe not first, but I think around second or third.
Definitely a Hall of Famer, but what? When would you go? I mean, Chio didn't make it the first one.
Yeah, and come on, friends, and we know that was politics. That was so much politics. That, friends, that had more so to do with just people not liking T.O. than T.O. really deserving to be in or not.
Right.
You know, so I think that, you know, like you said, friends, I think that he gets in. I think that he gets in. We'll see. Maybe I want to say second or third. I mean, Chris is quick. If Chris Carter's in there, Frizz, come on now, Calvin Johnson. I mean, there were some people that was making it. I don't know. Come on, Chris Carter's in there. Come on, Calvin Johnson.
I definitely agree that he deserves to be in there. He's gonna be in there. More or less, my thing is like with the talent he has, it's almost like a Randy Moss type situation where the numbers that and things that he was going to do in the league, it was snatched away.
I mean, but Frizz, Randy Moss had, what, the second? He's second or third in touchdowns?
No, I'm saying as far as Megatron, compare him to Randy Moss. He just didn't
stay long. Oh, okay. I understand what you're saying. I understand. I mean, fair to say, you look at his numbers and you're like, and in the fact that he retired, what, 30? And you look at him and you're like, damn.
You had at least maybe, you had at least 5 great years.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, yes, 5 more years. Megatron, we're talking about you. We're talking about you, like, and it's not even, like, it's not even up for the debate. We're talking about you being one of the greatest to ever play.
Exactly. Period.
No, and I understand. I totally understand what that right there, what you're saying right there.
And it's like, almost like, okay, and then he says, okay, he has $114 million in the bank. I get it. It's just more of like I said, Detroit's going to piss me off even more. They need to give up the Thanksgiving game on Thanksgiving because they can't keep, you know, Barry Sanders, now Calvin Johnson. We got to call it. Call it 860. You're on. What's going on,
man? Nothing much, man. I'm just listening to y'all, you know, talking about a little bit of everything, you know, a little bit of Manning, a little bit of Calvin Johnson. I don't know how fast Calvin Johnson is going to get into the league, man. You know, he only got like, he's like 27th on all time receiver list. You're right with what you said about, you know, a body of work for most of these top guys. You know, they played several years, you know. Jerry Rice, 3 different teams. Terrell Owens, what, 5 different teams? Randy Moss, 5 different teams? You know, these guys played for years.
Yo, this is what I think is going to happen. What's good right now, but in 5 years, they're going to be reading statistics like D.O. was reading. Oh, well, he was only 29. Because we're people of right now. So me, you, Rick, you know, we probably won't never forget him. Like, I don't never forget Barry Sanders. But when you go and you start looking at his numbers, and then you got to compare him to numbers and where he finished because he stopped, it's going to be like, oh, well, you know, we're going to forget his greatness. Because right even now, when you said Chris Carter was a beast on the field.
Yeah, no, Chris, I didn't think he was a beast, but I think that someone like Calvin Johnson was so much better. But I think him retiring hurt his numbers. I think retiring hurt him as a first ballot. Like, you looked at him and said, you know, automatic shoe-in. But I just look at him and I say, in this era that he was in, he played in, you know, 8, 9 seasons. He was the top wide receiver in the game. He was a top, you know, player in the game. And granted, yes, him retiring early hurt his numbers as far as in, you know, conversation-wise. But I look at it and I say, I think that he's going to get in. I think he's going to get in, but I don't think that it's stamped first ballot, you know, shut the door and that's it, you know, and we're moving on. I think that him retiring early hurt that, you know, part of his candidacy.
Yeah. But, I don't know, you heard that Osweiler took off, right?
But, wait, what happened?
Osweiler took off,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, free agent, you know, friends, free agency.
Right.
We got into it a little bit earlier. You know, we had to stop, you know, talk about the retirement for free agency. You look at it now. You got teams that are just basically playing with Monopoly money. You get a big contract, you get a big contract, everybody's getting big contracts. And you're just like, whoa, what? You're paying him what?
It's almost like it's payday. I mean, there's 2 big things that's going on now. They know they're about to enter the, a different collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah.
So it's like you said, they're playing with all this money right now because they know they can't. They know they're going to be able to levy money next year, too.
Yeah. I mean, as the popular, you know, the sports is getting more popular, you know, the game is getting more popular, you look at it and they're getting more money. So, yeah, for example, looking at it now and they're just like, okay, I think it was like $1 billion that the teams had combined to spend. So, you know, the teams are looking at this and they're looking at it just like, wow. You know, what are we going to do with it? You got teams like the Jaguars, $80 million in cap space. But I got to give my team that, like, you know, as far as in first off, I started to give them a good job at winning. Then they just started to blow their money again. It seems though, like they were one of those people that, you know, just get out of debt. And then all of a sudden they do something dumb to get right back in it. You're like, you just had a restart. Like, what are you doing? Like, you know, somebody just looked out for you and now you're back in it. It was the Eagles. Somebody took DeMarco Murray off their hands. Someone took Byron Maxwell off their hands. And then they got to move up in the draft for that. You know, even giving that contract away, they got the chance to move up in the draft.
Right.
But then they go ahead and they just spend it again. They're like, okay, we got that money back. So okay, let's go spend it on this player. Let's go spend it on that player. And they gave Chase Daniels 3 years, $21 million, and he's going to be their backup quarterback. And you're just like, what?
again, I'm telling you, give me like $5 million, I can blow back that.
No, and what I think was kind of funny though was just like they are basically saying we trust Sam Brassic, but then not really. So that's what I'm kind of getting the gist of it from, is they really like, they're like, okay, we kind of don't really want him to start, but if he does start, I guess so.
Right.
and this is like, wow. But I think the most surprising move, or I don't know if it was that surprising, was now you see that the Broncos are defending Super Bowl champions without a quarterback.
I know. That is one of the biggest surprising ones.
You know, for everybody knows, Brock Osweiler left. He signed a 4-year, $72 million deal with the Houston Texans. Like, first, what do you, like, your first reaction, boom, that happens. What do you?
They're crazy.
Isn't that, like, what we were just talking about? For the scarce as far as the quarterback is that teams feel like they're compelled to make moves like that.
Yep.
I can't sign this such and such player. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to overpay for Osweiler,
a quarterback,
and he only played seven games.
Again, if we don't, somebody else will, and what we're going to end up with?
Be like the Broncos,
right? That's what's going to go on. You even got the Jets contemplating on Ryan Fitzpatrick and giving him a big time deal, 60-70 million. So
yeah,
And this is like not even we're gonna do this before we're gonna see where Geno Smith is. So let's just say if next year, you know, just parring a broken jaw, Ryan Fitzpatrick wouldn't have even been starting.
I think that broken jaw was a broken jaw that saved their season. Honestly, I think something like that. But I think that with Ryan Fitzpatrick, it was with him, I think that he's a great quarterback if you have, let's say, like, you know, a team like that draft a quarterback. Let's say, like, the Browns or someone that's going to draft a quarterback. They need a stopgap type of player. He's one of that type of players. He's not a player, you say, he's going to lead us to the promised land.
Right.
But even though saying that, if I am the Denver Broncos, I may go give him a call. Because if you look at that QB play last year, I don't think that he does enough to, you know, he knows his limitations. He's going to try not to cost you a game, but the way that their defense was playing, you know, last year, you know, maybe he can do something. Maybe he can be confident. But their defense did take a lot of hits. When Malik Jackson going to Jacksonville, Trevathan and linebacker going to the Bears.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they can't pay everyone. And you saw what happens when you're when you win a Super Bowl, people don't look at you and say, "Oh yeah, oh I'm gonna take that player, I'm gonna pay him." And since players won, they're gonna be like, "Okay, now it's time to go get this money."
Right, right. I got a title, and that's how it usually goes. I got a title. Let me go get this money, or I'm never gonna get a title because my team is no good. I might as well get the money.
Exactly.
So, I mean, either way you put it, I definitely agree that, I mean, the quarterback position is the weakest position out there. And we talked about it briefly because besides the Peyton Manning, which is gone now, you have Drew Brees, Tom Brady. I mean, we name them Cam. No more than 9 quarterbacks. And the rest are just very mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why if I was Johnny Manziel, I wouldn't even be worried about it, too. I'd be drinking and everything because I still got a shot.
Yeah. And, I mean, you just – but also, too, though, Frizz, you look at the aspect of just Osweiler. 18 mil, Frizz, for what was it, 7 games?
Yeah, that's
wow.
A lot.
18 mil a year, and we're just like, you got to be kidding me. And you're talking about some of the Cam Newton getting paid 20 a year.
But then again, you got to realize, too, it was almost like a Matt Castle type of deal. I came in, the system was already in place. But,
yep.
But Brock Osweiler, the defense was there. So you didn't have to do as much. And then again, when you was in a situation, okay, you, of course, intercept the ball, cause a fumble on your 20, you're supposed to punch it in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what you're supposed to do if you make the – if you're in the NFL. What else are you supposed to do in that situation?
I mean, no, definitely. And, I mean, you look at him and – The Texans, I mean, judging back for their first round, I mean, their first, you know, round matchup in the playoffs, their quarterback play was atrocious. They got to the playoffs despite their quarterback situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that they need to address because they signed Lamar Miller, you know, a nice running back from Miami. So I think that they look at something and say, maybe now we have a dependable running back because, you know, we all know Arian Foster was just an injury that was just going to bound to happen. When is Arian Foster going to get hurt? When is he going to get hurt?
Yeah, because he's been hurt his last 4 years.
So you look at it and it's like, okay, now they got them a nice little running back. Now they got a quarterback position. And maybe – now they look at their defense, and I think that, you know, there's been rumblings that the Texans feel like their defense is championship worthy. So now the Texans is looking, and they're just like, okay, maybe now we can make a push. And they won a division last year, and I think that AFC South may be a little bit more interesting. I don't think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be a lot of average teams, but you're talking about everybody hovering around 8-8. But also, though, Frizz, and also people out there, buyer beware. A lot of times, these big free agent signings usually don't work out.
No. I mean, some like they thought what Calvin Johnson was a ploy just to, you know, just to either get more money or get a trade or whatever. But, you know, a lot of them has families in those places. You know, they're comfortable where they are, and they really don't want to move.
But, you know, situations dictate different things. So, you know, that's what you're going to have to do. And I mean, let's just be for real. If somebody's that when you're looking at different states and who you're being signed to, so you have Brock Osweiler going from Denver, Colorado to Texas. Weather's better, no state taxes. So he keeps a lot of that money.
No. And prison. Also, no, it slipped my mind. Also, you hear there's rumblings with him. So how do you, like, you know, how you think about this aspect? He felt the kind of way when they benched him last year. I want to say around the last game of the season, they benched him. They put Manning back in the game, and Osweiler wasn't there to be seen again. He felt a certain kind of way about that, and he let it be known. And there's reports out that he hasn't been in talks with the brass in Denver for like the past few weeks. He's been ignoring teammate phone calls and the management phone calls.
Right.
It seems though like he made up his mind and said, "Oh yeah, I'm gone."
Yeah, and you got to think too. What could have probably happened is what he changed. He probably lost how many millions of dollars just by not playing. Okay, because situational football, he could have probably handled. So say if he would have won the Super Bowl, I mean, you might have to add an extra $10 to $20 million at the end.
True. I mean, and you definitely brought up something that I didn't think of. You're talking about him at the bargaining table. They took that away from him because now he's looking at him saying,
right,
I could be getting $100 million right now instead of $72 because I could have been saying, I led them to the Super Bowl. I was, you know, because if you look at Peyton Manning, didn't do much.
Right.
What did, you know, what did Peyton Manning do? What did Peyton Manning do so much more than, you know, someone like Brock Osweiler? So he's, you know, he's probably definitely, he's probably looking at them like, yo, y'all starting Peyton messed up my money. Because if I'm starting, I'm getting way more money than I am right now because I have more on my resume saying I wasn't on the team. I led them. I was a quarterback.
Right.
And they, you know, a team like that took that away
from him. And the thing, the difference is, too, is like he wasn't hurt.
No.
He wasn't the starter. Then wasn't playing good and went to Peyton. Peyton wasn't playing good, so you went to him.
Mm-hmm.
One game, and then you take him out and put Peyton back in. But, you know, it would have been different if you had this discussion. But then again, like we said, because we talked about it before, they going into different games like, no, he's our starter. We don't know. We're staying with him until whatever. But like I told you, if Peyton Manning feels better, it's no way they're not going to start him again. And then, yeah. Two, you know, suck it up. You knew that was going to happen.
But, Fred, also, though, I mean, you look at it and you say, yeah, I just think that it's just like really the one game that Peyton comes back. Because you look at the other time, Peyton wasn't even there. He wasn't even dressed. For the one game Peyton comes in dressed, it's like, okay, yep, you're messing up. I don't think that he looked at them and said, you guys have enough trust in me. Because as soon as I mess up, you guys are ready to put a report on me.
But that's the only
Broncos ain't worried.
What?
Broncos ain't worried. John Elway about to come out of retirement.
Well, if he is, that's the only way that they're going to do anything. They're waiting for the draft. There's nobody there.
No, yeah, but
hell no,
you know,
nobody.
I mean, you look at him now. You're talking about people like RG3 and Colin Kaepernick. And this is another thing, too, that, you know, is one of my pet peeves as far as in free agency, though, goes, is people look at these signings, and I'm like, yo, dude, this older player ain't that same player he was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
He's not that same player. So don't get fascinated by the big name. Because
Like, who are you talking about?
Huh?
Like who?
Okay, you got you know, Williams, from the Bills. Williams from the Bills. He goes to Mario Williams from the he goes to the Dolphins. And then you also have, like, I mean, I'm not even gonna say older, but you look at someone like RG3. RG3 started to tailor off when he got, after he got hurt in his rookie year. It seemed though that him and play like Kaepernick, they took the league by storm. But once the league caught up to them, got the game tape on them, and got film on them, they couldn't make that adjustment.
But see, what I think happened with some of the people with Kaepernick, and even what happened with Cam Newton in the Super Bowl, I think they started trying to feed into what society says. No way, you have to be a pocket quarterback in this league, and it's a passing league. Well, hell, if I'm running, I'm running.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that Kaepernick is that great of a quarterback, but I think he's better than the system he's in. You know, and definitely, well, RG3's have what, 4 different offensive coordinators, 3 different coaches. That's not a recipe for success. Or 2. It's just not a recipe for success. You again, the next year, of course, they're going to adapt to what they did. But Cam Newton, he did the first thing his first year. He had the second year woes. His third year plus this other year, and this year was great.
No, but honestly, I just think that Cam Newton was a superior passer and player than those, you know, than them. It's also, too, though, is I just think that the system that the 49ers ran was high schoolish. I think that they, you know, from a standpoint, I think that they didn't, you don't really do much.
Well, I agree. And at the time, they had a great defense, so he didn't have to do too much.
No, I understand it, but I just think that there's a point in time where, and you see it in basketball, you see it in every other sport, you're that flash in the pan, you're this type of quarterback, and boom. Once that team, or once, you know, those teams, and someone finds that formula to stop you, everyone copycats that. And I think what had happened was, and Tyrann Mathieu said it, Colin Kaepernick can't read the whole field. Take the other half of the field away from him, he's done. And that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Is once you just jump on his first 2 reads, he can't go to that other level for it. He can't, you know, and that's what we were talking about earlier. We're talking about those six quarterbacks that can go to that next level. Who can say, you know what, you take my first 2 away, I'm not going to force it. I'm going to hit my heart. No, I'm going to hit him in the flat. You know what they
No, I definitely agree. But some of that took, you only got a couple that, you have Aaron Rodgers, you got to remember, Aaron Rodgers sat under Brett Favre and in the system for a long time before he was in that position. So he was able to learn. I don't think RG3 is at that level. I'm just giving him a way out because, like I said, if you keep changing the people's coordinators, it's like you keep, every time you download a new software on your phone, you know, and it start working right, there's another software that you got to finish downloading just for your phone to finish working like you need it. With every app, you got to download a different software. So it's like every time he's able maturely to go a different level, you take away something. So now you got to give him something to be able to deal with what he lost, if that makes sense. Get him in a system, be consistent at least, and then let him fail that way. Not by keep taking coaches and coordinators away and let's do it this way, and then next thing you know, this way is not working, so we're going to change it all up. That's not a recipe for anything.
No, it's definitely not a recipe for, it's definitely not a recipe that you look at and you say for success. But, I mean, I look at those teams and I'm just like, wow, that's not a predicament where you look at those type of players and say, okay, that's our answer.
Right.
So we want to go to that players, but that's what the market has called for, and that's why teams overpay for that, because they don't look at these players and say, wow, this is what, you know, this is what we have to go out and get. Or you're going to end up having to overpay somebody as far as in compensation if you want to trade for someone's backup quarterback.
Yeah,
but,
and then I know you got to go on. Then you're looking at the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Washington is Washington. That.
Yep.
then you have to realize San Francisco gets rid of the coach that brought him to a Super Bowl, what, 3 NFC championships. Let's find him. Where are you now? So it's like that's where I give the two quarterbacks that you mentioned. Some that's the only reason why I give them a break.
No, you know, no, I understand. I know, and I definitely understand that aspect of like that. But also, I just look. I mean, I just look at, you know, some level of play. But for his, you know, speaking of free agency, like we said, teams that typically spend a lot of money. The teams that are like the bigger signings you look at and you're just like, wow, this and that, aren't typically teams that are making noise in January and most like ultimately February.
No. I mean, and they proved it last year, like when the Dolphins pick up Ndamukong and Sue and they did all this stuff. And, it wasn't like, I wouldn't do that. I would go cheap, you know, spend more on your quarterback, you know, offensive line. Teach you somebody to rush the quarterback. That's kind of a recipe for success.
And they already, and what's funny, for instance, they're already kicking that money down the line because you know what they did this year, for instance? Oh, Sue, you want to come restructure that? You want to come restructure?
Yeah.
Brock,
it's probably, we didn't see it, but it's in that contract. Listen, dude, let me tell you something. You gonna restructure this?
No, he did. He saved him some money, but for his, you look at, you know, all these teams for the, I mean, look at your you know, your foe in the Giants. They got Janoris Jenkins. They paid him $62 million. They gave Olivier Vernon from the Dolphins for it. He had 7.5 sacks last year. 7.5 for it.
And what they give him?
They gave him $80 million. You know, and then they offered Damon Harrison from the Jets. They gave him around like 40-something million. Then you gave, you know, JPP with, you know, they gave him a $10 million contract. So you're talking about over like $200 million for 4 players on defense. And the thing about what I ask teams or I ask, you know, I mean, if it's a predicament where you are a GM and you left an organization to, you know, get into a bigger role, and I understand you saying, okay, I've been around this player his whole career, okay, maybe I can throw him the money. But most of the time, though, Frizz, when you are, you know, signing these players, you're signing somebody else's player and you have to wonder, why don't this team want them?
Right. You have to visit that. I mean, you have to visit why the Eagles let DeMarco Murray go.
Yeah. No, you have
before
to, you know,
pick him
you
up.
You look at why you guys let him go.
Right. I don't know.
And the Eagles just seem, though, that they just said, you know what, we're just going to give him money. You know, we're just gonna give him this X amount of dollars, but they never visited on why you guys let him go. And that's just always the case. Usually teams do not let good players go to free agency.
No.
I don't care, that's not happening. This is what happens in pro, you know, football. You know, especially with the salary cap and things like that. Usually teams do not let, you know, good players that they think that are great go into free agency. And you just look at these deals that people are getting, and you're just like, you got to look at A.J. Green's, you know, number 2 or, you know, people that's behind him on the depth chart getting $8 million, $7 million. And you're just like, yo, that production didn't even, you know, count for that. And you see a team like the Lions. They get rid of Calvin Johnson's, you know, cap hit, and then say, you know what, let's go get a okay receiver and put him there. Let's go get another. Let's go get an okay receiver, Frizz. And you know what? We just sometimes, Frizz, just because you got the money, don't mean just go spend it.
Well, so much you're dealing with billionaires. So at one point, in fact, you got to understand it's a business. They got to make the money, so they got to spend the money.
And yeah.
So luxury taxes. So that's why they do a lot of this stuff. You only have a few successful organizations. You just have a few of them, and they know how to make money either way around it. But we got to move on real quick because we're gonna have a lot more time for free agencies.
Yeah,
I just want to touch bases with you on a situation with LeBron tweeting and going on like that. And it's funny because we talked earlier, and I kind of said it before was, I think LeBron's kind of jealous. Because all the attention's on Golden State, and not just jealous. If he stays with the Cleveland, and I don't care what they do, if they don't build a better team, he's not going to get another ring. I think that's what he's kind of worried about.
Hmm. Yeah. We talked about this at length before. I don't think that he looked at this and he didn't see San Antonio getting a LaMarcus Aldridge. He didn't see this force to be reckoned with in a team that we are calling the Golden State Warriors. He didn't see this coming when he left Miami to come back to, Cleveland. He didn't see none of this. So this is all surprise to him, and he's just waking up like, what the hell is going on? And now he's looking at his team, and he's just like, wow, it may not be good. It may be not good enough.
Right.
And so he didn't see this coming, Frank.
I look at it, the whole thing, too, is like, there's a lot of hype behind LeBron, which is, rightly so. He is a freak. But you can't take away all the other players that made that team, that won championship.
Mm-hmm.
This is before. Mm-hmm. Take Ray Allen off that team, they would not have a ring.
Yeah.
Take Mike Miller, when nobody was shooting, off that team, and put and just have a scrub coming off the bench, they probably wouldn't have a ring. Shane Battier stepped up. So there's a lot of people that contributed in key positions when you were struggling that allowed you to get that ring. So you moving to another team, it's like, that's not the end-all, be-all. We talked about it before. Robert Horry on a couple of different teams. I mean, hitting shots that tie, helped stretching the floor in a lot of key plays. Lakers run. We naming off players. I remember Brian Shaw had to come off the bench and spark them. Because they could not move the ball, they could not find anything. So I mean, you look at those games and you're like, yo, you got to realize it's more than just you, Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh that won that championship. So you got to realize when you go there, it got to be more than you, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love.
Chris, I just think that he realized now that Kevin Love wasn't. I don't think that Kevin Love was the player that we thought he was. I want to say Kevin Love wasn't. He wasn't as built up. We looked at it and said, oh, they got Kevin Love, Frizz. And I don't think that Kevin Love was that guy like a Chris Bosh. Even though, Frizz, that you said he's changed his role, but you look at Kevin Love. You look at someone like Kevin Love, Frizz, I don't think that he's as good as a player as Chris Bosh was. And he still hasn't adapted to that role. But also Tudo is, I just think I look at the little things. He's not even as the great rebounder that he was in when he was with Minnesota. There was games where you saw, Frizz, like Kevin Love was grabbing like 20 boards.
Yeah. The difference.
and I agree with you. Just to piggyback off what you said, for what I think LeBron was looking at for what Kevin Love gave in offense, he's a total liability on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And unless he's going to take 30 shots, you don't need him in the game. Because, come on, let's just be real. If LeBron posts up and shoots the ball, he's shooting maybe 40%. Meanwhile, Kevin Love's not in the picture at all. But on defense, he's totally exposed. He's a broken hole in it. That's part of their problem.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie Irving, he's hurt, so his defensive is off. So you don't have people that can come in. I mean, before you had Dwayne Wade, LeBron, and Chris Bosh. LeBron and Dwayne Wade, great defensive players.
He had champions.
Right.
He had. It's like also for his though is that what people look at? It's a mind state. It's a total mind state, Frizz. It's levels, because you have, you know, you. Frizz, how many stories have we heard for the ex player who had all the talent but just didn't have the drive? And that's what you know. I'm not saying that about Love and Irving, but it's, I mean, the talent's there, but it's the mental, you know, the mental part of it. Is it there? Because if you look at Wade and Bosh, they were looking at him and saying, yo, we got to enter. They've been through those playoff struggles. That was Kyrie and Love's first time in the playoffs.
Right.
You know, they don't know, like, okay, we don't know what it is to, you know, lose in that, you know, round. But also, too, though, is that now you look at LeBron, he's not the topic of the conversation like that anymore.
Nope.
Because now you hear more people talk about Curry. And now you feel, though, is that he's kind of manufacturing things like a child for his, like, you know, for his, I'm pretty sure you know how it is. For his, if you're paying more attention to, you know, your daughter or your main, you know, your other, your other kids that are coming.
Right. They start acting out to get attention.
Yeah.
Like going back to Miami and chilling with Dwayne Wade. Sometimes, you know, you make mistakes and you're like, what the hell are you talking about?
Exactly. So we can do what we're doing right now for him and talk about him.
Right. That's why he agreed to do that cover of that Sports Illustrated at that time. And I'm like, dude, you are not on top. You lost. You're just not there. But I get it because you need to stay relevant. But at this point, Curry, 300 three-pointers, you're not relevant. It doesn't even matter. And so at the end of the day, you're not so relevant that your coach gets fired and you have the number one record in the East coming off a championship game.
Mm-hmm.
That's how irrelevant that whole situation is. And it's not just you. It's because you look at the Spurs and go to say Warriors is just doing so well.
Yeah, no, definitely. You just look at, you know, the aspect, like I said, for like, he is a smart person. I'm going to give it to him. And he looked at the situation. That's why I told everybody he didn't go to Cleveland because of he wanted to go back home. Granted, yes, that may be the reason, but the way that people was making it seem, though, for us was like, oh, LeBron's going, oh, he's paying his old back to Cleveland, oh, he's going back here, he's a good old hero. No, he looked at that same situation like he looked at the Heat and said, oh, yeah, they got a better chance to win than the Heat do right now. I'm going to go where, let me leave these players alone. Now they're getting older, I'm going to go join, you know, the Cavs, where we can go, we already have Kyrie, we can go get Love, and we can do the same thing what I was doing in Miami. But he didn't realize that there was going to be this Golden State team, or the Spurs was going to re-up and, you know, Kawhi Leonard was going to develop into a top 10 NBA player.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's another real sports show. On Wednesday, hump day, Rick Frizz Dio.
No, definitely.
We find talk.
Definitely see y'all on Sunday.
we'll talk about some more free agencies and, you know, more basketball.
Right.
Yeah.
This thing right here is for my people in the streets. And this thing right here, get your ass off the street. Come on.
They call me drag on. It's time to blow them up, burn them all. So they all say turn them off. You deep chips, I'ma hurt them all. Take an ace, I'm alive, be the colonel. Cause I'm running turtle, mixed with the inferno. So be careful, spot on you. You better listen, dude. Yeah, I heard you, but I heard you. What you don't know, my person too is a virtue. But pride is to be the team, which means a lot of dreams, a lot of schemes, a lot of beams to make those stop drop right on the scene. Nigga, head too hot and too much for you to touch. But it's your man, cause they're too tough and super weak. Too dust, so you bust the speed, dude. You can ask people, but quietly. But they don't believe until they leave violently. Did you buy this? Cause niggas that purchase is under the dirt, kid. They call me Dragon. I'm the youngest, but get bonkers. I lap on with my dog from Donkers. But this Bronx bomber split the flame. Should get better, but y'all.
But this is hot, put my Glock up. You know what I'm about, sliding off, get my cocks up. I'm writing rhymes, watching Scarface in the hot tub. What you wanna bet when I pull it out? If you don't shout, to every bullet to go in and out. Who you know besides Kiss, take a piss and a bottle of Crisp. Then give it to a modeling bitch. And you like your watch plain? I'm a flood mine, alligator bloodline. Train to find coke and bite one time.
Y'all niggas ain't hearing me out till I pop up, appear in your house, clearing it out, holiday style. Everybody acting violent and wild. Snatch the wife, silence the child. That's how we move. Kill me, my man,